Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Monday, December the 18th, 2023. It is the third week of Advent. It is the Monday of the third week of Advent, or day two of the third week of Advent. So this will be our final week of Advent readings. And we'll keep you posted about the new year. Probably we'll just continue on with our readings. Last year we did the New Testament in a year. Or this year, I should say. This year we did the New Testament in a year. And I think next year I'll just stick with the readings throughout the church year. I thought about doing like through Old Testament reading through the year, but the problem with that is there would be like 3 or 4 weeks where we would be like in Leviticus. And I don't know that how that would work very, very well on a podcast to do 4 weeks through Leviticus. So with the lectionary readings, with you know, 3 or 4 readings from different parts of the Bible every day, you still get all the aspects of Scripture, but you don't like just get submerged into one book for a month. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'll keep you posted. So keep an eye out on the Facebook page, the Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast Facebook page. And Instagram on what the new year looks like. The format will be just like this. We're going to continue on YouTube and the audio podcast. And so, yeah, so you'll be in the loop on that. All right. Hope you guys are all doing great. Today we have the 3 readings from for this week, and the first of those is Isaiah chapter 8, 2 Peter chapter 1, and Luke 22. And so let's jump into that. Thanks so much for being on today. Good morning, Trish. Good morning, Nona. Glad you guys are on. All you guys on the audio podcast, welcome today. Let's dive in. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us today. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. All right, let's do it. So the reading is from Isaiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. Isaiah 8, verses 16 and through 9:1. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. I will wait for the Lord. Oh, so he feels like God is far away, right? I'm gonna trust you, Lord, even though I can't see your hand. I can't maybe not even feel your presence. I don't understand what you're doing, but I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna wait on the Lord. Did you know every person of faith will walk through that valley? Every person of faith will walk through that season where I don't understand what this is about. I don't sense any guidance. You feel distant. But even in spite of all of that, I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And waiting is not, it's not a passive thing, really. It's an active waiting. It means I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to worship, even though I don't feel it. I'm going to continue to follow you. I'm going to continue to try to order my life in a way that I think you would be pleased in. I'm going to continue to serve and give. I'm going to wait on you. How many of you have ever been through a season like that where I will wait for you, Lord, even though it feels like you're hiding your face from me? Yeah. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I see that hand. Yeah. And the truth is, like I said, every person will go through that. It's just a normal, it's very, very normal. I will put my trust in him. You actually may be in a season like that today. When someone tells you to consult, now here's the thing, man, this is a good passage. Because when, here, watch. Whenever you're in one of those seasons, you're going to be tempted to look for other sources of revelation and truth. You're going to be tempted to consult other, quote-unquote, resources or modes of spiritual revelation. And the scripture here is going to warn us, don't do that. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. So when you're in that season and it feels like God's hiding your face, don't consult mediums and spirits and tarot cards and horoscopes and your drunk friend. Consult who? Consult the Lord. But it's going to be tempting, right? It's going to be tempting when it feels like the Lord is hiding his face, not to go seeking out these other things. But here the scripture says, don't do it. Consult God's instruction, the testimony of the warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. They have no grounding because they're not grounding their lives in what is really true. They have no true source of direction. And that's why we read the Word of God every day. That's why we spend time reading a chapter every day, is because we want our lives to be grounded in something that is true, to be grounded in the Word of God, not to be tossed to and fro by everything that happens in this world, but to have a true source of what is right and what is wrong, what will be, what we can count on, what is fleeting and what is permanent. Chapter 9, verse 1. This is a famous one. Tomorrow, we won't read all of this today, but tomorrow we'll read it, and it's a good one. It's one of your classic Christmas readings right here. We're going to read the first verse of it. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. So those who, that's us, guys, those who, you've been through those seasons where you need direction, but you feel like God is far away. And here the ancient prophet is speaking to people who they feel disillusioned and lost. They're not which way to turn. And he says, those who've been in that position, those who have experienced gloom and loss and disillusionment, even destruction or adversity, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. So a time is coming when Zebulun and Naphtali were considered dark and destroyed places that were full of gloom and destruction. But Isaiah here is saying a day will come when they out of that very region will come light. And we know that Jesus's primary location of his teaching ministry was in Galilee. So in that very land is where Jesus ministered primarily. And this was a prophecy looking forward to the light that would dawn through the teaching of Messiah. Second Peter. Let's jump over. Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. Nope, that's not right. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through. I didn't get my Bible ready here, so I'm here flipping pages, man. There we go. Second Peter 1, 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's awesome. Welcome, everybody. So glad to have you guys on. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So I see that this, you know, again, these readings are when they were coupled, they were coupled thematically. And I think you see, hey, Jenny, I should say. It seems to me that they're coupled by this, what we should lean to in moments when we're distressed or discouraged, right? In Isaiah, it says, don't consult mediums and don't consult, you know, spiritists. New Covenant is saying his divine power has given us what? Everything we need for godliness. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Back in the day, there was an a cappella group called A Cappella Original, and they had a song about this. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the power of him who called us. Yeah, it was straight out of this. You're welcome. You didn't expect that this morning. Maybe I should apologize. But yeah, here Peter is reminding us that God has given us everything we need for godliness. He's given us his word. He's given us the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit that takes resonant in our hearts, that not only reveals the word of God, but helps us to apply and to walk in power according to the word of God. So he has given us everything we need. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Right here, man. Very great and precious promises. So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The corruption in the world that's going to lead to destruction. If you've placed your faith in Christ, you are now in him, and we are participating in the divine nature. We have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. For this reason, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. It's, that's a great place to put perseverance, right? Because self-control, anybody can be self-controlled for a hot minute, but it's hard to be self-controlled for a long time. Come on. Anybody can be self-controlled for about a couple seconds. You're like, man, look at me showing restraint. But add to your self-control, what? Perseverance. Can you be self-controlled for a long time? Can you do it over a period of time? And going back to the themes in Isaiah, can we do it when we're waiting on the Lord? Can we continue to be self-controlled while we're waiting on the Lord? Where it feels like, where it looks like, where we see, we don't see any active move of God, where it feels like we're in a valley, where in those seasons where it feels as if God is cold, in those seasons, can we still walk and be self-controlled and self-disciplined and show perseverance with that? And add to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. Gotta love other people, man. I know they people and everything, but you gotta love them. There's some sweet ones though, too, though, right? Some very sweet people out there. You know, those single brush washes about people aren't accurate, are they? Well, people are mean. Well, there are some mean ones. There's also some very, very, very kind-hearted souls. And that inspire us and melt our hearts with their kindness. It's true. So to godliness, add mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. That is a great meditation, just to spend some time just going over that list. To add faith, goodness, to goodness, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, mutual affection, to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we grow in those things, we become more knowledgeable of Christ. In what way? We become more intimately aware of Jesus. It's not just a head knowledge. It's an intimate knowing, right? You think about a very, very close friend or a spouse or a child, someone that you know very well, intimately. It's not just the head knowledge that you have about them. Yes, you could describe their eye color and their hair color and their size and maybe guess at their weight or, you know, describe their build. But you know way more about them than that. You know them. You have a sense about them. When we add these things to our lives, Peter mentions in this letter, then we become more intimately aware of Jesus. And that's what we all want, right? To become more and more like Jesus, to be aware of him, to be aware of when we're accurately reflecting his character and nature, to know when we're pleasing the Lord, to know when we're not, to know when we're walking in step with him. We know the Lord more. And that's a beautiful journey, man. That's, you know what? There was a song back in the day we'd sing a lot. It was, "Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Over everything else, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus." Yeah. Dude, I'm going to tell you, that's the game changer. Every single day, what do you need? Give me Jesus. In your 20s, what do you need? Give me Jesus. At midlife, give me Jesus. And on your deathbed, give me Jesus. That should be our prayer today. Today, give me Jesus. Give me his heart. Give me his presence. Give me his power. Every day. Verse 9. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And if you will receive a rich, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. Beautiful passage there from 2 Peter chapter 1. Yeah, Jeremy Camp. Oh, yeah. That's right. Jeremy Camp has a version of that. It's a beautiful song. Beautiful, more than a beautiful song. It's a beautiful sentiment. That, those words, give me Jesus. That sums it up, man. And that's the cry really of every human heart, saved and unsaved. That's what even the unsaved heart is longing for Jesus. And of course, as one who knows Jesus, it's the mystery of at once being fully satisfied and never thirsting again, as Jesus would say, but also still longing for more. Being content, this is the mystery of faith, right? Being content in Jesus and at the same time wanting more, wanting to know him more. Beautiful. Yeah, I like that one too. Let me see Jesus only. Let me see Jesus only, Jesus only. Jesus only, let me see. Luke 22, verses 39 through 53. Thanks, everybody, for being on today. Love you guys. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed. Interesting. Again, this is that parallel, finding that theme. The disciples were about to go through a time where it won't make sense. Jesus is about to go through his betrayal and trial and crucifixion, and they're going to go through a time of great disillusionment. And they'll be tempted to turn away, to give up, to quit. And so they're going to have to go through a season where they have to wait on the Lord. And so Jesus is telling them, he's modeling for them prayer. On reaching that place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." That's what it means to become more like Jesus, right there, verse 42. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. That's what it means to become more like Jesus. Learning to live every day, not my will, but yours be done. And that is becoming more and more like Jesus. Verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Verse 47, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and a man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" What in the world? Sorry, my computer just went blank there. Just make sure the podcast was still on. And when his father saw, when his followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" They're ready to fight. And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear, his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was in the temple courts and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Ooh. That's the theme, man. The theme is in all three of these readings is that there are seasons where dark, it feels like darkness is reigning. And even though darkness is not reigning, it will feel like it. It may feel like it sometimes in your own life. It may, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, it may feel like, man, just there's just so many negative things happening. There's so, God seems so distant. My, I'm going through, as St. John of the Cross would say, dark night of the soul. We've talked a lot about that on the podcast. And when that happens, we wait on the Lord. We trust him. We cling to his promises. We remember what we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, that he has given us everything we need for a life of godliness through a knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He's given us his precious promises, his holy. We lean into those things even as we wait, even as we walk. So we just keep praying. We keep seeking his face. We add to faith, goodness, self-control, patience, and mutual affection and love, all of those things. And I just want to encourage you today, because Advent is was a waiting. That's what Advent means. Advent means waiting. And that waiting is like a dark night sometimes. But during your waiting, you keep praying, you keep trusting, because by and by, God will keep his promises. And light, those walking in darkness will see a great light. That's the promise of Advent. Let's pray, guys. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for my friends and the privilege that we have to read your word together and pray and to hear from you. God, we pray for those who may be walking through a dark night right now, and they don't sense you, they don't feel anything, and just seems like a series of bad things are happening around them. And so we pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them, Lord, that you'd give them power and grace, that you would bless them, that you would give them manna in the form of grace, in the form of your presence. And Lord, we know what they need as we know what we need. Jesus. Give me Jesus more than anything. Today, Lord, we want you. Thank you so much for our time together. I pray your blessing on each and every person today. Thank you, Lord, for this season of Advent that reminds us that at the end of the darkness, a great light is waiting to burst forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Love you guys so much. Thanks so much for being on today. Hope you have a fantastic day. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Thanks for liking, subscribing, hitting the thumbs up button. Thanks for sharing this on your social media platforms, helping us get the word out about the podcast. And so appreciate that. Thanks for leaving comments and interacting with each other. Really appreciate that. That makes it so much more enjoyable for everyone. So thank you for your engagement. Again, have a great day. I love you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.